Mark 3. And I told Jerry, I said, I know what I'm dealing with this morning. I feel like the devil's trying to choke me this morning, literally. But we're going to get it said this morning, if the Lord will help us. In Mark chapter number 3, now those of you visiting this morning, we want you to know this is our 17th message. We're studying verse by verse and section by section as the Lord leads us through the gospel according to Mark. This is the life and the story of the Lord Jesus. And we're thankful for the story. We don't ever get tired. It never gets old to read about and to study and proclaim the things that he did. And ultimately what he did at Calvary, all these things we're studying is going to get us to Calvary. Amen. I don't know if it'll be message, 205. Amen. Before we get there. But it's all going to end at Calvary, or may we say just begin at Calvary. And we'll see an empty tomb and a resurrected Savior. And thank God he lives today. Mark chapter 3, if you would stand with me. And if you're saved and can pray, you'd be praying for us this morning. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 7. The Bible said, "But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. He spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues." Verse 11 and 12 will be where we lift our phrase this morning, or lift our thought from. "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known." You can be seated. This is all the further we'll make it this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would take the Word of God this morning and empower it by the Spirit of the Lord. These things you've laid upon our heart, Lord, may you give us clarity of thought, Lord, that we might make a clarity in the message, Lord, to those that have gathered here today. Lord, I'm well aware the message we're preaching is for sinner and saint alike. Lord, I pray this morning that you would draw those that have walked in, lost in sin, lost in rebellion, Lord, wayward from God today. May the Spirit of the Lord work in their hearts and lives, and Lord, arrest their attention and settle them upon the Lord Jesus and save them, Lord, today we pray. Lord, for those that are saved, I pray that, Lord, we'd listen intently this morning, understanding our responsibility in this world, that our lives would line up with the message, Lord, that you have saved us and, Lord, given us the responsibility, Lord, to carry, Lord, to a lost and dying world. So many multitudes today need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. They need to hear what he has done for them and can do for them. Lord, I pray today we would find ourselves challenged, Lord, again as the children of God, Lord, to be what you have saved us to be, Lord, not just to be religious, Lord, not just to be right on the outside, but Lord, to have everything we are line up with, Lord, that message, that glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been studying the gospel according to Mark. We understand, if you've been around, that in the opening of chapter number 3, verses 1 through 6, is the fifth encounter of Christ with that crowd that is known as the Pharisees. They're the religious elite of their day. They're super spiritual, super religious. They strive to be outwardly, amen, this epitome of spirituality that men would maybe view them a certain way. And underneath all their rules and regulations, they find themselves at odds with the Son of God. the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied that fifth encounter as it took place in the synagogue of Capernaum as the Lord healed the man with the withered hand and preached. And we dealt with on last Sunday, verses 1 through 6, the kind of church that grieves the Savior. How that in the midst of all that religious activity, the Lord was grieved in his heart for the hardness of their heart and the religion that they were trying to portray that was absent of helping anybody, absent of compassion, absent to the power, the true power of God, and no ability to restore anything to anybody. And when the Lord manifested his power, the Pharisees, they seek counsel with the Herodians how that they might destroy the Lord Jesus. And that's found in verse number 6. We preached all that on last week. Now Mark in these verses speaks of Christ's ministry after having withdrew himself. The Bible said in verse number 7, but Jesus withdrew himself. We ended the message on last week just briefly hitting upon this phrase that their rejection of Christ in the synagogue and rejecting his power, rejecting his life-changing power and love and compassion and message of challenge for them to turn to him. After they went out seeking to destroy him, he simply withdraws himself from them as though to say, I'm done with you and the hardness of your heart. I will go to somebody else that maybe wants something to do with me. And so he withdraws himself, and immediately the crowds and the multitudes, we'll see in a moment, began to be drawn to the Lord. We find he's withdrawn himself from the synagogue of Capernaum. And the verses that follow, specifically verses 7 through verse number 10, as the multitudes press upon him, they throng to him, they come to him in great numbers. I believe that these verses could easily be viewed as a summary of the whole second year of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study his 3 years of ministry, you'll find they can be broke down in three different ways. The first year we've studied, Mark doesn't spend much time on it, but he deals with it being a time of obscurity. The Lord is kind of in the shadows. He is secretly or privately and personally calling a band of men to himself. And that first year was spent in obscurity, him and his father and a few disciples, and he's preparing for what is getting ready to come. And we come to the second year, which is where we are in Mark chapter number 3. It is a year of popularity. And the Lord's fame, we'll see in a moment, is going to grow. He is going to become well known and famous in the land. His third year, being marked as the conclusion of his life, was a year of adversity. And after all the popularity, after being approved of the Heavenly Father, after having done all the good that he did, that generation would begin to turn on him, and he would find himself being nailed to an old rugged cross, a year of adversity. And yet in this time, in Mark chapter number 3, his popularity is growing. Let me show you four notable truths in these verses for our consideration, and it'll lead us into our thought for the morning. Notice when, as we read these verses, I see the spreading fame of Jesus. All he has been doing in the land is beginning to be known. Word is getting out. In fact, in verses 7, particularly in verse number 8, there's a phrase that makes a statement, when they had heard what great things he did. And we understand from the end of Mark chapter number 1 and in Mark chapter number 2 and now already in Mark chapter number 3, the Lord is doing wonderful things. And it seems like the more he does, the faster word spreads, the greater his renown is in the hillsides and in the cities. The Lord, without the aid of radio advertisements, television reports, and social media posts, was becoming famous for, consider this, he is literally ridding the land of disease. If you was around 2,000 years ago in that Middle Eastern hillsides and cities and the areas in which the Lord was ministering. Literally, the hospitals were being cleaned out. And literally, the clinics from my friend were going out of business. This man from Nazareth, this Jesus from Nazareth, is literally going through the cities and the villages, Chad, and he is ridding them of every disease, every handicap, every issue that is going on in their day. And my friend, we see the spreading fame of Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all believe this morning they ought not be? And there is none more famous in all the world than the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was one of the Beatles that said many years ago, that my friend, the Beatles were the most famous people in all of the world. That they were legends in their own mind and in their generation, and that they would live on throughout infamy. But my friend, there are lands that have never heard of Beatles too. There are villages and tribes and nations and kindred of people, amen, who have never heard one song they've ever sung. Amen, but if I understand the Word of God right, when we get to heaven, amen, there's going to be a crowd that has been redeemed out of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, and every tribe. Amen, there is one more famous than the Beatles, more famous than Elvis. Amen, more famous than Michael Jordan. Amen, more famous than you and more famous than me. Yeah. And he's the one that can heal and do whatever men need done in their life. Amen. The spreading fame of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, it's like wildfire, Brother A.L. Amen. They're all talking about him. Amen. He's the subject of their dinner conversation. Amen. He's the, amen. Everybody okay now? Amen. He's the one they talk about down at the beauty shop and the barber shop. Amen. I mean, it is going everywhere. You will not believe what Jesus is doing in our land. The spreading fame of Jesus. I see the sensational following after Jesus. For in the midst of all that is being told, in the midst of this generation hearing what great things the Lord is doing, the Bible said there in verse number 7 again, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. And the Bible said in the end of verse number 8, and when they had heard what great things he did, they came unto him. And so in the spreading fame of Jesus, with that comes a sensational following after Jesus. My friend, if you've heard the things that he's done for others, amen, if you have talked with those that have said you won't believe it, amen, I had leprosy last week and was hopeless until I met a man named Jesus, and here I am, amen, clean and pure and able to be among you and among my family. Amen, when you're meeting folk that say, I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I can hear. I was sick, and now I'm healed. Amen. That would provoke others with needs to want to get to where this man is. This, my friend, sparks a sensation throughout the land that, hey man, if he can do this for others, maybe he will do it for me. Hey, if he would meet their need, maybe he would meet my need. Hey man, I will make mention of a few things in passage. Hey man, when the Bible speaks about a great multitude from Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and then it's like he just keeps getting, word is spreading further and further out, and people are coming from further away. The Lord is in the region, the northern region of the land of Israel. Amen. Maybe outside of Capernaum, and is along the seaside of Galilee. and his word and his spreading fame begins to be told everywhere. This sensational following, amen, brings to him people, amen, friend of all sorts. Amen, you'll find in this list of places it is listed, amen, friend, there are Jews and Gentiles alike and are saying, we've heard of him and we need him. May he help us with what we have that he has done this for others. We want him to do it for us. When you study this, where the Lord is in the region that Mark says these people have come from, Brother Gerald, there are some that are coming from over 100 miles away. Why are they coming to him? I find a sad part in this, and I'm not necessarily faulting them. If I was blind, amen, and had tried all I could to see, and I found out, amen, and heard about Jesus opening blinded eyes, amen, I would want him to do that for me too. Amen. If I was crippled and could not stand in my own power, but I had heard that he had raised those that had been crippled and now they're walking and they're running and they're enjoying life again. If I was a cripple and I heard about that, I would want the Lord to do that for me as well. There is in this sensational following something that I want to point out, and it's that these great multitudes in the context of verses 7 through 10, they seem intent and content to get a miracle rather than a message from the Lord. You remember in chapter number 1, as he began his second year of ministry and public service, that he did a miracle in the synagogue of Capernaum, casting out the devils and unclean spirits out of the man that was in that service on that day. And then he was taken to Peter's house and he raised up his mother-in-law. And from the door of that very house, multitudes were brought to him. And the Lord healed them in that region and on into the night. And then he wakes up the next morning and he goes to pray. And his disciples seek him out. Do you remember what they said? They said, what are you doing? All men seek for thee. They have heard about what you can do for them. Amen. And now it is time to come out in the place of prayer. Amen. Because all men need something from you. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, let us go unto the next villages. Amen. I must preach the gospel there as well. In other words, the entirety of the Lord's ministry, and he did miracles, and thank God for the authenticity of those miracles and what they prove. The Lord was not sent to do miracles. He was sent to bring a message to change their life. The miracles can deal with their physical need. It can deal with what ailed them. Amen. In their health. What good is a physical miracle if there is not restoration of the soul? We're living in a generation that has sensationalized Christianity. They have sensationalized the work of Christ. Amen, amen. They wanted, this crowd wanted what our generation wanted. They wanted what he could do for them, but seemed little interested in who he really was. Fix my problem. Bail me out. Do for me what the ailment is. Amen. Looking for a quick fix. And looking for something to put a band-aid on their situation. Amen. And as best I can tell, amen, every one of these people that experience, and thank God, amen, Christ helped them and Christ did for them, amen, physically what they needed. But as best I can tell, everyone that God's Son healed in his earthly life eventually got sick again and eventually died. What good is a temporary healing today? Amen. If you're not prepared to meet God when you die. Amen. So there is a sensationalizing of religion in these days. Amen. People go to church for all sorts of reasons. Amen. They want a handout. They want a social gathering. They want a network of people and a community to belong with. Amen. And there's not even anything wrong with those desires. What good is all of that if we miss who Jesus really is? Yes. Spreading fame of Jesus, the sensational following after Jesus. I come to verse 11 this morning. Amen. And by the way, in this sensational following after Jesus, amen, they have whipped themselves in a frenzy. Amen. The language that is used is not only that they're following Him and they came unto Him, but in their sensationalizing, amen, and desiring what He can do, missing who He is. Amen. The Lord speaks of them thronging Him. Verse 10 speaks of them pressing upon Him. Amen. They're seeking to touch Him. Amen. It's as if really what they're saying is, amen, so long as I can get my miracle, they don't care about anybody else. They don't care who He is, and they don't care what they're doing to Him. Amen. Selfishness. Sensationalizing, and that, amen, again, is what I submit that much of religion in American culture has become today. Amen. Nothing more than sensationalized, selfish religion that expects God to do something for me as though He owes us. He owes us nothing. Amen. Anything He does, amen, if you miss who He is, you've missed it all. Sensational following after Jesus. Number three in this introduction's real long and the message is real short. On that, amen, we got a little bitty house, but a real big porch. Amen. Amen. Number three, consider with me the superficial falling before Jesus. In the midst of the thronging and the pressing of the crowd, what we find in verse number 11 is demonic spirits using the vessels of their possession to fall down and confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Verse 11 again reads, "And unclean spirits, when they saw Him, fell down before Him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." I do not read where the disciples were proclaiming that. I do not read where the desperate that have come from so far away with all of their needs has even gave consideration that what they're experiencing and what they're witnessing is a testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. That of all that crowd, Brother Tim, that on this particular occasion, whether it was a day or days or weeks, that the only ones that recognize and confess the Lord to be the Son of God was demons. Amen. You say, well, preacher, is there something wrong with their confession? Let me say there was nothing wrong with what these agents of Satan did. There was nothing wrong even with what they declared. The fact of the matter is, amen, Jesus is going to take issue with this because Jesus knew it was superficial. They can do all the right things, they can say all the right things, but it is nothing more than a superficial religion, amen, that is filled with demonic activity and is void of the power and the enlightenment and the revelation and the conviction that only can come from God, amen, in the midst of doing and saying the right things. Christ identified it as being very superficial. Amen. Well, y'all were getting quieter the longer I preach. That's all right. Amen. Do we understand that,
that this morning this is falling down. I can see in the midst of the crowd, I can see amongst all the activity that is going on, amen, folk are coming and they're healed. And maybe they're weeping and they're crying. And maybe they even thank the Lord for what He's done. Amen. But in the midst of all of this, as He makes His way, there are people full of devils. There are people that have been inhabited by the very agents of Satan and of hell and began to fall down. And they're making a good action and they are saying some good words. But Jesus is not real to them. They know who He is. They know who He is. They confess who He is. But they have not been personally changed by the power of Christ. Amen. Superficial falling before Jesus. Let me give you the fourth point of the introduction that, and we'll kind of come back, we'll put all four of these together while we're dealing with this. I see the sovereign forbidding by Jesus. Amen. In the midst of all He's doing, the people with the unclean spirits fall down, they cry. Amen. As they know who He is, Thou art the Son of God. And you would think that Jesus would say, that's exactly right. Amen. By the way, He is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He is the one come down from God. Amen. He and the Father are one. He is the Son of God. Sent, amen, into this world. In my mind, I would think, Brother Jack, amen. If I was the Savior, I'd be, that's exactly right. I am the Son of God and everybody around here needs to know it. Jesus does something very, very interesting to me. And it ain't the first time. He charges them that they would not witness, testify, or promote out of their mouth who He was. Even though what they're doing is nothing wrong with it, even though everything they are saying is doctrinally accurate, Christ said, I don't need your help telling them who I am. Amen. We're living in a generation, and my friends, so long as people are doing the right things and saying the right things, we stand and we applaud as if everything is of God and everything is in the Spirit and then everything is right. Jesus, understanding the superficial nature, they're falling down. Amen. He gives a sovereign forbidding, and my friend, is to silence them and not say another word. Hang with me. That Christ would charge these unclean spirits to be silenced from spreading the message of who He was is a common theme in His ministry. This is message 17. Amen. We barely made it into chapter number 3. But if you've been here long, our study, do you remember? In Mark chapter number 1, when the Lord goes in the synagogue in Capernaum, and Brother L, He preaches, and that unclean spirit cries out, amen, I know Thee who Thou art, Jesus of Nazareth, Thou art a Holy One of God. Do you remember what Jesus told him? He said, hold thy peace and come out of him. In other words, be quiet. I don't need you testifying. I'm not desirous of a witness that comes out of you. Amen. Y'all hang on now. You may need your seatbelt before this is over. Jesus said, hold thy peace. In chapter number 1, again in chapter number 1 and in verse, let me get it right, in verse number 34, the Bible said, and He healed many that were sick and diverse diseases, had cast out many devils. Notice what the Word of God said, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. So what the Lord is doing and what is charging them again in Mark chapter number 3, this is not an uncommon theme of the Lord's ministry. And don't they know? Listen, in chapter 1, the Capernaum of synagogue, amen, do you realize what those unclean spirits coming out of that man were saying? We know who you are. You're Jesus. You're Jehovah's Savior, sent to deliver mankind from their sin. You are the Holy One of God. May I say, He is Jesus. He is Savior. He is the Holy One of God. And now they come out with another accurate confession. It lines up with Bible doctrine, all of this. Amen. If we heard this, could say, amen, that's right. Then we know who thou art. Thou art the Son of God. And every time the devil speaks, Jesus seems very intently to say, shut up. Christ needed not nor desired the promotion of devils. Those who are not aligned with His kingdom, those who are not aligned with His house, those who, my friend, were, amen, outside of the scope and the realm of the mission that He has come to accomplish, He's not interested in anything they have to say, though right it may be. I'm interested in this morning, and I'm almost about ready to give you my thought, and you'll blink 3 times and I'll be done. In the midst of all that is going on, all the crowd, twice we read of great multitudes. There's some coming from this way, others coming from that way. And Christ is the center of all that is going on. And they're coming, sensationalizing, amen, the work of miracles that He can do. Would you agree with me? There is a need for somebody in the midst of all the crowd to say, time out, time out. Don't miss it. Amen. Don't just get something from Him. Walk away knowing who this is. There is a need for somebody, amen, to make a witness of who Jesus is. Somebody needs to say something about who Jesus is. But Jesus says, though there is a need for that, I'll not have it from them. Preach for a moment on this thought, the kind of witness Jesus doesn't want. I'm troubled about our generation of Christianity. You may get mad, amen. Some of y'all may never come back, but I am seeing things go on in the name of the Lord Jesus, where there are general doctrinal statements that are being made that are accurate. Don't fall out with me. I love everybody now. I'm convinced there's a religion of devils that looks good on the outside and sounds right to the ear. But there is a kind of witness Jesus doesn't want. Let me give you 3 things while you buckle your seatbelt. You say you're talking about devils. I understand that, but Brother Larry, I think there's something we can learn from this. Amen. From the Lord's encounter with these demonic spirits. And as He forbade them sovereignly, and by the way, amen, when He showed up, they did bow down. Amen. When He said, be silent, they were silenced. There's a crowd that'll get mad at me today for exposing, amen, their sort of religion, amen, their sort of, amen, religious exercise, amen, and they'll bow up and they'll get mad and they, amen, they make all sorts of kind of twistings of Scripture, amen, to make it seem as though they're justified. Mark it down. Jesus is teaching. There is a kind of witness witness he does not want. Now, he wants a witness. But if you ain't lined up with his kingdom, and if you ain't lined up with what he's really all about, and if you are not submitted to him in your heart, Christ would rather not have your witness or mine. Amen. The kind of witness Jesus doesn't want. Oh, Lord, help us. Let me say number one, though there was a need, but those that were trying to witness Christ is silencing them. Amen. He didn't want their witness because of, number one, the darkness of their character. The Bible said when it begins to identify what it is that is speaking, who it is that is doing the falling down and the crying out, Brother Seth, the Word of God is very clear. These are unclean spirits. They are unclean spirits. They are unclean. They are unclean. Amen. They are known by the Savior. And by the way, they were even known among the society of that day to be unclean spirits. And I know that because we'll see in a moment, amen, that the crowd, amen, and the fame that is being spread abroad, amen, they understand there was such a thing as an unclean spirit. Amen. We're not entombed on to that, and I've really got to be careful how far we go into that, but mark it down, there is, amen, a spirit realm. There is a demonic realm. There is a realm of spirits that are devilish, that are satanic, that are hellish. Amen. And the word that the King James Bible uses here is that they are unclean. The word unclean in the description that is used, amen, it means literally they were impure, they were vile, and they were lewd to their core. There ain't nothing good in them. There ain't nothing moral about them. Everything about them is opposed to the law of God. Everything they're about, every intent of their heart, everything they are when they're by themselves and no one else is around, amen, they have a character, amen, within them that is filled with darkness. Jesus testified, amen, that mankind in his natural state, here's what he said to Nicodemus in John 3. He said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They will not come to the light, Jesus said, lest their deeds be reproved. In other words, man in his fallen state, amen, is little. Listen, one of the old Puritan writers, amen, made this statement that when God made man, he made it a little lower than the angels. And that's true. The Word of God speaks about that. Amen. But when mankind sinned, sin made him little better than devils. And I say today with him, amen, the heart of the unregenerate man. Amen, there is a darkness. There is a darkness that you may try to attach religion to your life. Amen, you may try to carry a Bible and you may try to sound religious. Amen, you may say, well, I love Jesus and I pray. Amen, I had a young man tell me even on yesterday. Amen, I'm talking about a man steeped in sin. Amen, a young man that's in great trouble. Amen, he was trying to sound religious. And I'm not throwing stones. I'm trying to help that. Amen. I spent over an hour with him on yesterday. Amen. But here's what he said, Brother A.L. He said, I get up every day and thank God for his blessings. As though that gained some kind of favor with God. What is any of that? What is any of that worth? What good is that doing anybody if there is a darkness of character? Amen. That darkness of the unregenerate soul. Amen. Lost in sin, steeped in sin, and has not known the light or will not come to the light. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Christ, you got to understand. Amen. He is the Son of God. I've already confessed He is the Holy One of God. Amen. And Christ, as the Holy One of God, should be promoted by those who have been made clean by His blood and are seeking themselves to be holy as He is. It's amazing. You can drink your beer, smoke your dope, tell your dirty jokes. You can cuss and carry on in all sorts of heathenism and live like a pagan, walk in a church or get around church people, and even on bar stools in our county last night, there were men who are drunkards and liars and thieves. Amen. That in their drunken stupor was saying, amen, and testifying that they know Jesus. They're saved. Amen. I have taught with men who were under the influence and drunkard Cooter Brown that could give you a better message of who Jesus was than most, amen, so-called God-called preachers in our day. I think the Lord says I'd rather not have that kind witnessing for me. You know why? Because those that are of the kingdom of darkness, amen, they may say all the right things. They may even do some of the right things. And if you are of the darkness, you cannot shine the light of God's kingdom. Oh, we're preaching today. Amen. God help us in America. Amen. To understand we need a real personal relationship with the blood and the light of the Lord Jesus. Ain't enough to be religious. Amen. You must be blood washed. The light of the kingdom of God's Son must shine in your heart. There must be a change wrought. There must be a difference that is made. Thereby, what did Paul say? We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into a kingdom of the light of God's darling Son. So will me and the Lord have an understanding. Listen, they ain't nobody got no private deals worked out with God. You are in darkness, and I can preach on all sorts of sins today. Amen. And maybe we ought to preach a little while. Amen. And name some names that done got on the drunkards with. Amen. We talk about the fornicators and the adulterers and the sodomites. Amen. We talk about the liars and the cheats and the thieves. And by the way, we can talk about those. Amen. That are on the church pew each and every time the doors are open. And on the inside of them is a core of darkness. No interest in the light. No interest in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, you know all the right things to say. Amen. You know how to come in and sit down and do the part. Amen. But have you ever met the light? Have you ever met the light? Has the light ever shined in your life? Oh, that's right. Thank God for the day the light came on. Amen. Now I'm witness about who He is. I'm the kind that qualifies, not because I'm somebody. Let's get this right before we move on to the next point. You say, preacher, you act like you got to be perfect. He's looking for kindness perfect. That ain't what I'm preaching. I don't think it, and we'll get to it, and I'm jumping ahead of myself. Brother Gerald, it ain't no, oh, hallelujah. There's no coincidence. I think there's no coincidence that immediately after this, you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to go apart, and He's going to call whom He will to Himself. And He's going to anoint 12 men to go out and preach who He is. You know what I think he's saying? I don't want that kind running around Israel. And even one of them 12 was a devil and a betrayer. Amen. But the Lord was not aiming for perfection. Amen. He is aiming for those, amen, that have come to the light. Those that have seen the light of who He is. Those that have entered into a personal relationship with Him as the light of the world. I tell you why I didn't want that kind witnessing for Him. The darkness of their character. It's amazing. It's amazing the people, amen, on social media talking about the Lord and how loving the Lord is and gracious the Lord is. And their life's filled, my friend, with 10 miles of hell and sin and depravity and darkness. Amen. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about, have you been to the lake? Have you been to the fountain filled with blood? Has there been a change in the character, amen, of what we were born into? Have you truly been introduced to Jesus? The darkness of their character. Boy, I feel like I could preach 3 more hours right here this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, number 2. Amen, this gets a little more tighter. Let's crank her on down. Amen, not only the darkness of their character, but consider with me this morning the duplicity of their confession. They are very, very duplicitous. You say, what does that mean? That means they weren't saying Jesus is the Son of God till Jesus and His crowd and all the crowd, amen, showed up, and they kind of look good because they're saying all the right things. But Mike, they weren't saying that. They weren't saying that before Jesus showed up. They weren't saying that before the disciples walked into their world. Oh no, for that, they're telling their dirty jokes. Hey, amen. They're watching things they shouldn't watch. Hey, amen. They're carrying on ungodly, wicked ways. Amen. And Christ, I think Christ has said, oh, I hear what you're saying now, but I heard what you said 5 minutes ago. You know what's killing revival from coming to our land? It is a generation, amen, that has filled the four walls of church buildings and worship places. Amen, they act one way when they're there, and they act another way when they're all by themselves. Duplicity. Amen, we okay? Boy, I've wrestled with this. I've wrestled, Brother Jack, with this. Oh, this is both, I mean, this is double barrel right in you, not in your face, in your heart. It's double barrel preaching right in your heart. I don't ever want to be guilty of being duplicitous.
Right, right.
I don't want my children seeing me act one way at the house of God, weeping and crying and raising my hand. Before the sun goes down on Sunday night, they hear Daddy cussing. They see Daddy doing things and acting ways, that being entertained in ways that are absolutely contrary to what they've seen Him being at the house of God. Oh, you know I'm preaching it right. I know we got a whole building full of visitors. Amen. I'm a trying to grow a church. I'm a trying to get folk, amen, to come. And amen. But you know what I'm preaching's right. You know what the Word of God calls duplicitous living? Hypocrisy. Now our churches are filled with hypocrites. Amen, amen. I don't want to be one of them. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not the judge of all of that. But, amen, can we at least open our eyes? Can we at least examine at least our own lives and our own families? Amen, and be aware that there is a kind of witness Jesus doesn't want.
Amen.
You witness to the detriment of Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. But you witness and I witness to the detriment of Christ if we are duplicitous and have duplicity in our confession.
Amen.
If you're saying, I want to know more about my Lord, but you don't live like you're learning more about your Lord. Christ don't want your kind of witness. Boy, this thing's preaching far better than I thought, Brother Larry. You might need to go start my truck and warm it up and get me a escape route planned. Amen. Duplicity. But Jack, there's a generation coming on the same that, and I'm not making excuses for them. Some of it's their own darkness and their own trying to find loopholes. But, amen, and it was around. I guess maybe it's always been around. I can look back. Amen, when I was a young person looking around and seeing all the hypocrites and the folk, they'd sing in the choir. They would teach. They would preach. They would carry on in religious activities. Then outside the church, live like a bunch of devils. There's two things I want to say about that. Number one, if you're one of them kind, you need to stop, repent, and get right with God. Number two, if you're one of those that is watching that and somehow that has gained your attention, amen, I wouldn't let that drive me away from Christ. I know the temptation is there. Hey man, I made up my mind a long time ago. Hey man, I'd rather go to church with a few duplicitous people and a few hypocrites than to spend an eternity in a lake of fire full of a bunch of hypocrites. You'll always be able to point at somebody and say, well, what about them right there? Hey man, but what are you going to do about Christ? What are you going to do? Amen. Listen, it ain't going to be them standing there. Amen. When you stand before the Lord, amen, you're going to... Listen, I can give you story after story after story. Call names. Amen. Of people that I've known throughout, amen, my entire life. Live the life of a hypocrite. Yes. Tried the witness of Jesus and what that done and the distraction that was to me. Amen. And they ought not do it. Jesus don't want that kind. I want everybody to listen. For every hypocrite that you can point at, there's somebody next to them that's real. Amen. You'll find two, you'll find three, you'll find five more. Amen. That it's real. That what you see on Sunday, you can show up. Amen. Anytime on Monday, and they'll still be the same. Amen. They don't live duplicitous lives. Don't let that crowd keep you from coming to the Savior. Amen. The kind of witness Jesus doesn't want. Amen. He didn't want the witness of these people full of devils because of the darkness of their character. He didn't want their witness because of the duplicity of their confession. Oh yeah, they're saying he's the Son of God. But y'all understand the same crowd that's saying he's the Son of God is full of pride and full of rebellion. That's the crowd that in Isaiah 14 sided with the devil, amen, sided with Satan, sided with Lucifer, amen, over the Lord. They chose Lucifer's way rather than the Lord's way. Oh, amen, they might as well stay silent. The Lord knows what they are. You can say all the religious things, and if you're filled with rebellion, you're being duplicitous. Amen. It's like the crowd in our day that claims Jesus to be their Savior, but then turns around and denies His Lordship in their life. He saved me. Hallelujah. He saved me. I don't mean to mock that, but what good is saying all of that and trying to give Him praise, but you deny Him the reins and the control and His Lordship in your life? You know what you are? You're being duplicitous. Time you make up your mind. Amen. I feel like preaching like Elijah did there atop Mount Carmel. Amen. When he got up there and he got in Ahab's face and he called all the crowd around. And here's what he said. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's where we're at in this day. A duplicitous minded people that they want to be religious on Sunday. Yet they want a church to belong to, but they're not interested in living for God the rest of the days of the week. Amen. Feel like maybe I need to be Joshua this morning.
Yeah.
Call everybody in and say, can I have your attention? If God be God, then serve Him. And if the gods of the Canaanites be gods, then serve them. But be it known this day, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua said, I'm not going to be duplicitous. I'm going to go on record and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to live like I'm on the Lord's side. Joshua said, it's time, choose you this day. You know what some of y'all need to do? I know I'm going long. I told you I had a little bitty house and a real big porch, but the house, amen, we just keep remodeling and adding on to the house this morning. Some of y'all need to make a choice today. America's going to hell in a handbasket. Thank God, listen. Thank God some of these judgments came out. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks from our Supreme Court, I thank God for that. That ain't going to fix our land until our people then say, you know what? I'm choosing that, and that the Lord, He is God. Amen. Duplicity of their confession.
Right.
They say one thing and show another.
Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Did I loosen the seat belts there? Just reach over, cinch it down one more time. I'm almost done. We see the darkness of their character. We see the matter of the duplicity of their confession. But notice with me, and this is something I've just thought on. I really need the Lord to help me in this matter, but there is this matter. Christ did not want them witnessing of Him because of the discrediting of Christ's credibility. There's something we're going to study in just a few weeks, if the Lord will help us later on, that happens in Mark chapter number 3. You say, preacher, what is that? How many of y'all go, preacher, what is that? Oh, you're not excited to know, huh? Go home and read it. The scribes are going to gather everybody around, and here's what they're going to say. Oh, we don't deny He's doing these miracles, but we have come up with He is doing this by the power of Beelzebub.
Right? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Christ, being Lord, knew what they were devising in secret.
Amen.
Had Christ not silenced this crowd,
right,
had He allowed them to continue on being the mouthpiece and the vessel to witness of who He was, the minute them scribes and Pharisees and His foes stood up and said, oh, He's got the devils behind Him, it would have discredited, it would have joined Him to those dark spirits, it would have joined Him to a duplicitous nature, amen, vessel that it would have discredited everything He's already done and everything He had yet to accomplish in the Father's will. This is why it is very, very careful that if we are going to handle the Holy Son of God and introduce Him to an unholy world, we better make sure we ourselves are striving, again, not to be perfect. Every one of them 12 men, not just Judas, every one of them had their own issues and weaknesses and things that Christ has got to work in. If we're going to carry that message about who He is, let's make sure what we're trying to witness about is not discredited.
Amen.
Why is it? Let me ask y'all a question. I'm done. I'll have mercy on you. I'll just stop, all right? But not yet. In a minute. Why is it more sinners ain't getting saved in these days?
Yes. Right.
And listen, there's a lot of reasons for it.
I think we're living in a day sinners are as hard hearted and steeped in sin. Especially in America, it's just hard to get their attention. What we present cannot compete with what the world's offering sinners and what sinners have tasted and enjoyed and have in their life. By the way, the world can't compete with what we're given either. I believe that's true. And I believe there is a hardness in sinners. But I wonder today, maybe some of the reason couldn't be the Church of the Living God has discredited our own witness of Christ's credibility. Because we're so lackadaisical, we're so casual. Oh, we still come to church. There's some, they're not even faithful to that. I don't mean to be mean, but amen. They taught me when I was coming up, it takes three to thrive. We got a generation that just flip coins Sunday night. Heads we go, tails we don't. Wednesday night, they've laid their coins down. It ain't even a 50-50 chance for most of them. You know what you do when you claim the name of Christ and try to witness to your family and yet it's not real to you? Really, Christ, I think, wants me to tell you He don't want your witness. Because your witness and mine and the areas of my life I'm guilty of discredits the credibility of Christ. He is a good Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He can change lives. He can save souls. He can do the impossible. He can break through the hardness of anyone's heart. He can pull you out of your sin. He can wash you white as snow. I don't want to be the one that brings discredit to the credibility of Him to be able to do all of that. I want my life to be a living reflection of what I witness that He can do.
Amen.
Amen. The kind of witness Jesus doesn't want.